Welcome to Technology Tangents. We get leaders together to discuss the important tech of today and the implications for tomorrow. Our discussions are fun, lighthearted, and, well, frankly, opinionated. But hopefully it gives you a sense of what to pay attention to, what matters, and what to ignore. Joining me, as always, is our Chief Technology Officer, Jason Goff. Welcome, Jason.
Hey, Vincent.
Glad to have you. Here we are on a Friday. You got your coffee, two cups of coffee this morning, so it's going to be
two cups of coffee in front of me, yes.
It's going to be a good podcast. Joining us this time is actually a special guest, Ian Thomas, who is our Chief Data Officer from Codera UK. Ian joined Codera about a year ago after doing 20 plus years of data roles in technology and media industries. He actually co-founded a web analytics startup in London in the early 2000s, went to work for Microsoft, where I first met him, out in Seattle. He ran a series of large-scale data platform and teams for Microsoft Advertising, Bing, and Microsoft Consumer Marketing Group. He's held several CDO roles, including at Publicis Group and Kingmakers. Has lots of opinions about CDOs, is my understanding, and where they're successful and, frankly, where they're not. Welcome, Ian.
Nice to be here, guys. Thanks for having me along.
And thanks for joining us on what must be a Friday somewhat late evening for you. So hopefully you have some coffee too, because it's been a long week, I suspect.
Oh, I'm already on the whiskey.
On the whiskey at this point. Even better. Some of our best podcasts were made with that brown.
Yeah, maybe we should be doing that.
That's exactly right. Well, listen, today, guys, I want to talk to you about data strategy. I know that we've talked a little bit about the CDO role on the other podcast, Technically Minded, in the past, but today I really want to focus on data strategy. Like, what is it? How do you make one? What does it mean? And how do you really do that well? And Ian, I know you've published some stuff on this just recently. Maybe just to kick us off, do you want to give us just like a headline on what data strategy means to you and some of the headlines of like what makes a good one versus a bad one?
Yeah, sure. So people talk a lot about data strategy as kind of a magic bullet to get everybody aligned within an organization around data, but often people don't really know what they're trying to achieve with the data strategy. That's really the kind of the whole foundation that you should start with, is how are we looking to use data to achieve the organization's goals? So a data strategy that is separate from the organization strategy, from the business strategy, is kind of no use whatsoever. Sometimes when I talk to people, they're building a data strategy, which is really a data management strategy. It's very focused on the technology and the management of data. But as I say, if it's not really figuring out how to drive value, then it's not going to kind of excite people. And that's maybe the best way to think about a data strategy is it's kind of a marketing document. It's a manifesto for how the organization wants to drive value through data. So it needs to touch on the kind of how of that from a number of different perspectives. So it needs to think about, we've got to think about what data we need, what data we have, the kind of platforms we need to build, the management we need to build, but also what's the story, where's the sizzle in how data is going to transform the organization, how are we going to get people on board and excited about what they can achieve so that they want the data strategy, they feel like it's something that's being done to them. Because data strategy is going to involve people changing the way they work. If you're trying to transform an organization with data, jobs will change, jobs will appear, jobs will disappear, and so on. So you've got to have people on board.
That's an interesting point. Are data strategies, from your perspective, always transformational?
I think they have to support change. Whether sort of all change is transformational, I guess that's maybe that's semantics, I don't know. I think they are most successful when they help the organization achieve new things.
Got it. Okay.
So that, if that's transformation, then so be it. But data strategy is just kind of like, oh, we want to be more efficient than how we currently do. We want to sort of build a faster horse. Okay. It is technically a data strategy, just not an exciting one.
I like the idea of a data strategy being something that helps the organization think about how they achieve objectives, right? And how they use data to either, offer new products or improve their products or reduce costs or whatever those objectives might be. I think so many times when I've seen them try to get implemented, it is all about policy, right? Mm. Every data source must have a single source of record. And these things must be encrypted, right? And they're more like rules about how individual development teams must treat their data, which is not necessarily wrong. I mean, those are all probably the right thing, but you can do all of that and get no value, right, out of it. Mm-hmm. So you've just achieved failure. Congratulations, you've implemented all these policies and you can now answer no new questions or offer any new insights about what you're doing. And so that's, you know, a waste of money. So I do like the idea of it being like something is going to be used, or is how to use data to improve the business. I guess my question would be like, that's probably not when we come in, that's probably not, you know, the first thing people think of. How do we adjust even clients' ideas or clients' expectations about like, well, we hear what you're asking, but that's not going to be the most useful. We need to, you know, what a real data strategy or a good data strategy would do would be this. Is that a problem you see in kind of getting clients to think about it a little differently?
Yeah, it absolutely is. The trouble is, this is kind of a tale as old as time, but the trouble is the people who know about the data are not the people who know about the business, and the people who know about the business are not the people who know about the data. And I think the work that, you know, that we can do is to help connect those people to each other. A lot of times, you know, I've dealt with this a lot at, you know, a ton at Microsoft, where there'd be a data or a data engineering team, and maybe they'd just be complaining to see the trolleys, the business teams, you know, they don't know what they need. And then you talk to the business teams, and the business team would say, the trouble is, when I say what I need, the data team just doesn't understand what that is. And when you kind of apply that in a strategic context, you know, it is a genuine gap that, you know, you might say to a business like, okay, we're going to write you a data strategy. You need to tell us what your business objectives are. And hopefully that business has some decent business objectives. That's not a given, in fairness.
Well, that raises it. I didn't mean to cut you off there, Ian. Sorry. I was going to say, but that raises an interesting point, which is like, from your perspective, so I hear you, Jason, not a procedure or rules book, true strategy, and that, right, that's something different than like how we're going to implement, you know, encryption at rest, for example. But who is the actual audience? Back to your point, I know you said it's a marketing document. Who is the audience of a data strategy from your perspective, Ian?
The audience for a data strategy is all the people who need to do something to make the data strategy happen, which may be a little circular, but it means there's a couple of audiences. There's the downstream stakeholders, if you like. You know, they should be able to read the data strategy and recognize in it, like, oh yeah, this is an attempt to give me the ability to do more of the things I've identified as being important. You know, this helps me with the things I've said that I, you know, want to achieve. The other people who should read the data strategy and recognize themselves in it are the various sort of partners in delivery for that data strategy. So particularly analytics teams and engineering teams who are going to be called upon to you know, write code or build things or deploy stuff to support the data strategy. You know, and they will read, you know, hopefully they read the data strategy and they go, oh yeah, okay, now I understand what this business is trying to achieve with data. It helps me to contextualize the investments that I'm being asked to make to achieve it. So it's really about a, you know, document that, you know, applies to sort of both the supply and the demand side. And yes, you know, it needs to talk about rules of the road and governance and stuff like that, you know.
Sure.
I personally find that stuff kind of dull, you know.
The G word is like the, it's the yeah, most hated word at our clients, governance.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I mean, I'm always using analogies for data and, you know, with this kind of stuff, like, you know, if you go out and buy a car, it's because you want to get somewhere and, you know, Maybe you like driving, et cetera, but ultimately you have a destination in mind and, you know, you drive out on the highway and stuff like that. And there's a bunch of rules that you have to adhere to in order to not cause yourself and other people a bunch of harm. Nobody would pretend to be excited about speed limits, but we all kind of understand that they're there for a reason. And And I think that's, you know, that's what we get lost. A lot of data strategies are about people saying, I have a great transportation solution. That transportation solution is speed limits. And then people are like, that's the most boring thing I ever heard. So connecting it to the outcomes is just super important.
And the reason, by the way, for speed limits is revenue generation, right? No, I'm kidding. I want to go back to this point, which is like, if the audience is that broad, which is people from, you know, the business all the way to people implementing it, it must be a massive document then, right? If you have to have down to the level of like, how are we going to encrypt data? Who's the big G words? All those questions of, you know, who has access, et cetera, all the way back to how is it going to drive revenue for the organization? We're talking about now like, you know, a 60 plus page document, presumably to cover everything in detail, like where, but it's probably not what realistically what's useful. So like, where do you draw the line of this granularity, the big picture versus the micro details here? And then what other supplemental documents do you imagine that come out of this to go get it to your point done, Jason?
Yeah, that's a good question. A lot of data strategies do end up being super detailed and therefore, you know, harder to consume. And obviously, you know, one can create, you know, executive summaries, slide decks, and so on. I think the way I think about it is a data strategy should provide a good decision-making framework for more detailed decisions as they sort of flow down through the organization. So, you know, it needs to articulate the high-level goals and objectives, the high-level outcomes that the organization wants to achieve with data, but it's not going to enumerate every use case for data. And similarly, it should identify major kind of data dependencies and kind of the framing of the data that the organization needs, but doesn't obviously have to get into the schemas and the contracts. The technology piece is interesting because it can be that one where it's a little bit challenging, because if you say, well, you know, the data strategy says we need a cool platform to do data stuff, well, that's not enough. But as soon as you go into a little bit more detail, all of a sudden you fall off that cliff into exactly how you're architecting the platform. I think that you can articulate it as sort of behavioral parameters, if you like, or performance parameters that the data platform needs to have. And also actually the service delivery parameters that need to exist. You know, we've been doing some work with one of our UK clients recently, and they've been busy building data strategies and IT strategies and stuff like that. And the thing that they really struggle with is identifying the kind of service relationship between different parts of the organization, how that feels. And again, if you get that down crisply, it doesn't have to be a 1,000-page document, but it becomes a set of rules to live by, which I think is really kind of the goal.
Yeah. You know, I think about this kind of as an example because, and you know, this is the way I think about it. So you can tell me I'm totally wrong, and Vincent does every day, but on a lot of data things. But I'm a big fisherman, right? And I always like my
you fish?
Yes, I know. And I use all my analogies on this podcast for fishing analogies. But you know, if I'm going to run a fishing guide business, which hopefully one day I'll do when I retire, right? Like, you know, the strategy to me is like, I'm running a guide business. I want to use data like to find the right customers. I want to use data to potentially find the right places for them to fish, to potentially determine what to fish with and when to fish. I want to use data to determine like how to maintain the boat, right? And minimize my cost of maintaining. Those are all the things I want to do with data, right? That would be part of the strategy. And then there's the, okay, well, what data is then needed to do that? And how do I collect it? And where do I get it from? Right? That would be part of the data strategy. I think those probably have to be living documents, right? You know, they're obviously going to change and evolve over time as new things come out. For example, I might say like, well, I've got a new boat, which we'll hopefully be here in April. Don't tell my wife that, and it sends some data, you know, out of the engine. Well, I have to add that into my data that I collect. But then there's to me, I think about like, all right, well, that's all the strategy. But like at some point, like we've got to implement that, right? And so there have to be teams that collect that data, interface with the other teams that generate that data. Often when we talk about strategy, I see a huge gap. We got that strategy, which is a lot of the the goals and objectives and how we're going to gain value and that kind of thing. We've got like these, it's very easy to get then into these implementation details of like, we're going to take the data from the engine and put it in Snowflake, right, or whatever, and generate these reports. But like there's always a middle step to me that is missing, which is like the, how do we implement the strategy effectively? And that's not technology wise, but it's like org wise. Like, is there a team that then is responsible for updating that, working with these other technology teams to resolve these dependencies and get the data? It's like, when new ideas come up, are they involved? Like, I'm going to, you know, implement a website. Well, now they might be involved to see what impact that could have or data could have on that, or what data they need to have impact on other parts. Like, and that's what I often see is missing. I don't know if that is part of the data strategy. To me, it's more of the implementation of the, I always think of things, and maybe this is, you know, the engineer in me was like, well, if I could have different implementations of the strategy, then they're not part of the strategy, right? So there are different ways to maybe implement those things. Is that something that you think is part of the data strategy or needs to be separate or doesn't need to be there at all? What do you think?
Yeah, I think you asked a really good question there. Operational model considerations, I think, do need to be part of a data strategy. And again, there's kind of a level of detail. And this, you know, this comes to the kind of, you know, the question of potentially, you know, the role of the CDO, or at least the role of a central data team, and the roles of other data teams around the organization. So sort of a broad understanding of kind of who's on first base for different pieces, I think is pretty important. And varies with, well, it'll obviously vary by the kind of organization that you're talking about, you know, big, you know, a big org with, you know, a ton of sort of semi-independent, semi-autonomous business units is going to have a very different operational model and sort of more autonomy than a much smaller organization that is sort of more centralized. And there's also an element of data maturity about the answer here as well. I've quite a few conversations with CDOs where they're on a kind of a journey where, as they've been maturing their use of data, they've started with a sort of relatively centralized team that's, you know, where most of the data skill in the organization is living. And then as they become more mature, there's a sort of an organic process of the teams that they're serving, their kind of stakeholders, sort of, you know, if you think of a sort of a hub and spoke, the sort of the spoke teams starting to want to have a bit more autonomy over their own sort of, you know, their own ability to generate insights and so on. And so there's an active need to enable those people to do more, work. And whether that, you know, that might turn into the ability for those teams to start doing things like actual sort of analytics engineering or even data engineering on their own data. So one thing that is true for a data strategy is that, you know, it is a living document. It needs to kind of strike a balance. You know, the challenge with declaring anything a living document in an organization is everybody goes, oh, if it's living, that means I can just ignore it because it'll change. You know, if I do something, the document will have to update to reflect what I'm doing. So it needs to be a living but kind of mildly stubborn document where you say, no, it's not going to change all the time, but it does represent, or it takes into account the fact that we're on a journey so that we know the future will be different. We will be further up the hill to the peak of a mountain or whatever, you know, in the future. But right now, this is where we are, and this is the strategy we need right now.
And by the way, I just want to highlight, not mercurial. This is a word that you use a lot. I think it's a British common word. Not mercurial, but rather persistently stubborn. Did I get that right? Is that the idea?
Yeah.
I love that. That's really good. How, by the way, Jason, this is to you too, but like, if you think about this living document idea, this point of, you know, implementation means it's a separate document conceptually, if there's multiple ways to implement it, kind of like that litmus test too. How far into the future do you write these things? Like, how often should you be updating an appropriately designed data strategy or technology strategy? And I want to go to that one next, but Jason, Ian.
Well, I'll start with data. I think it's okay to update your data strategy to do, you know, let's say a minor point version update of your data strategy every year or so. I think more frequently than that, it becomes, you know, too much of a moving target. People can kind of take advantage of that and just say, well, you know, I want to change the data strategy because it doesn't match what I want to do. As to the sort of scope of a data, the time scale scope of a data strategy can probably be 2 to 3 years. You know, people say we need a data strategy for the next 5 years. I'm like, are you sure? Because, I mean, do you really know where you're going to be in 4 to 5 years? I get it that people want to set a reasonable medium-term goal, and there's organizational dynamics that mean, you know, blah, 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 you have to say we have a five-year plan, et cetera. But setting a five-year direction or three-year direction with yearly adjustments, I think is the right choice for a data strategy.
Jason, is that what you've seen on the technology side too?
Well, you know, we haven't really talked about much about what a technology strategy is, right? But, you know, technology strategy for me is, it's very similar. You know, the organization has goals. How do we use technology to achieve those goals? We have a whole portfolio of things we want to offer, you know, products and services we want to offer. How do we use technology to best deliver those? Either directly, you know, if it's an e-commerce site, or use technology in the manufacturing of some physical good, right? And then that, you know, somewhat gets a set of applications or services that are then consumed. And then the other part of a strategy is like, well, how do we build versus buy those? How do they talk together? How do we maintain them and source them? Do we, you know, outsource that? Do we buy that? You know, those are the similar, you know, similar from a data perspective in the technology one. I do think I would say it's a little bit more fluid because those needs in the business are somewhat unpredictable, right? So COVID happens, we got to shut things down. Well, now we need be able to pick up, you know, some buy online and pick up at the store. Something else happens, right? They're a little bit more in flux on those things. And so they tend to be updated, I won't say constantly, but as, you know, any type of significant event happens in the business. And, you know, there's an architecture component of that. Systems have to get architected. Those are somewhat living designs for those systems as well. And I do think they might drive, I think, more frequent update. The more dynamic the business, the more they might drive more frequent updates to that. If someone comes along and, you know, let's say it's June 2006, right? And I think that's when the iPhone came out, isn't it? All of a sudden, I was at American Airlines at the time. Like, iPhone comes out, like, guess what? We got to have a mobile app, you know, that lets people, you know, buy online and check in for their flights and use it as a mobile boarding pass. Okay, well, that's a significant shift then to the, well, what services do we offer and what technologies and applications and platforms do we have to use to offer them, and what data do we gather, and how might we use that data to improve those experiences and the data about those experiences to improve other, right, mm-hmm. experiences. So that comes along, but you say, well, those iPhone kind of thing events don't come along all that often, but I think they kind of do. Then there's the Apple Watch, and then there's maybe the COVID lockdown, and then there's, you know, Spotify launches, or no, you know, maybe a better example is Alexa launches, and you want to say, Alexa, where's my flight? And so I think those things happen probably more in the technology space more than yearly, probably big events, maybe quarterly. And so do all of them necessarily impact that data strategy and the implementation of that data strategy all the way down to the rules of the road governance and the actual platforms? I don't know. I guess my question is, I kind of know, is, you know, it's the CTO, like, you know, in a lot of our companies, the CTO, the, you know, CIO, whoever, it's like, that's the person that's responsible for that maybe the chief architect, enterprise architect, figuring that out. Like, but who is that person on the data side? Is that the chief data officer? Is, you know, analytics officer? Is that, what do those kind of operational, you know, handoffs look like? Hey, we're going to be doing this. What impact does that have? Is that, you know, the chief data analytics officer? That's what I'm kind of curious about.
Yeah. And I think to summarize real quick, from what I've heard so far, the guiding principle of this data strategy is that it must be a living document. And again, sort of forecast a vision to a pretty broad audience about what we're trying to actually accomplish here in enough detail that you can establish what I'll call, or I'll steal from the military, commander's intent. That is, it doesn't tell you exactly how to implement which encryption algorithm to implement. Rather, it says something like, hey, we want to make sure that all of our data is secure. Well, that's adequate for me to figure out, like, I probably need to encrypt that, right? And to use best practices here. And in those details, those implementation details, to your point, Jason, might live in a separate document of like, well, which is the best? What does that mean? Is it at rest? Is it, you know, et cetera, et cetera. The next question is exactly where you're going, Jason, which is like, okay, so we have this document. It sort of articulates some vision of data and it needs to tie back to the business, right? So it says like, hey, here's what the company wants to do. We want to make more money. We want to get more customers. We want to find the right fishing holes, if you will. We want to have the best experience, right? Okay, well, in order to do that, we have some combination of technology and we have some combination of data. So there's a technology strategy that talks something about, to your point, like what does the signal stack look like? And there's some data strategy that we're talking about now that's about like what data do we need and how do we use it and where do we get it? Where are the boundaries in your mind, Ian, or between?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm asking, because this is somewhat my Machiavellian way of saying like, are they, should it really be part of the technology strategy? Are they different?
Jason's always trying to kill us. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, it's a good question though, Ian. Like, what are the boundaries? Is it a corporate strategy? Like, how, if the goal is to make value, create enterprise value from data, like that feels very corporate strategy. Is it like the implementation details of like, well, how do we realize the value? That feels sort of technology strategy. Now there's a third one of data. Like, where do we draw the boundaries and like, what, how do we think about that in your mind?
That's a thorny question. I mean, I sometimes think of the chief data officer role as being the kind of cheerleader in chief for the creative use of data to achieve business outcomes. So to step back a little bit, it's kind of some of the things you guys were talking about a second ago. You know, the CDO role, I think, can, if it's doing a great job, it's bridging that gap, right? You know, the business saying, I'd like to achieve this, and the CDO or their team is in charge of, as it were, or at least responsible for saying, well, data could help in this kind of way. And it's important, I think, in kind of what you were just saying, Jason, about, you know, your fishing business, kind of frame the challenge as, I want to bring new people to my fishing business in a cost-effective way. That's the way to articulate that, you know, particular part of the requirement. It actually shouldn't be, I want to use data to bring people to my business. It's like, I want to bring people to my business in an efficient way. If the most efficient way for you to bring new people to your fishing business is to spend all your evenings down the local bar talking up your fishing business, well, that's fine. And so to frame the use of data as, you know, as one of several ways to achieve business goals. And it might be, I want to bring people to my fishing business by having some amazing, you know, inventing some amazing new fishing rod that's got, you know, Bluetooth in it or whatever, et cetera, et cetera. You can tell that I don't know anything about fishing. And I mean, one way to break this down is to say, okay, well, you know, we should look at the business problems and we can look at the way that technology and data, to some extent, separately can solve them. I think where it becomes complicated is where those two things really overlap. And in fact, I think it's the businesses that are most foundational around data. Well, let me rephrase that. It's the businesses who are, for whom data is most foundational. I mean, I had this when I was working for this sports betting startup, Kingmakers. The world of sports betting is just data. The whole business is just numbers. And as CDO, actually, I struggled to kind of crisply articulate the sort of boundary of my responsibilities, because for a while I was like, well, everything in this business is data, therefore I'm responsible for everything, and everything has to be under the purview of the chief data officer. You know, everything we do with data, but that turns out to be literally the entire business. There's no simple answer to that. I think perhaps maybe the thing to do is kind of think about it as like, is the opportunity a sort of a data-first opportunity, in the sense that it's perhaps, you know, analytics or insights or automation that's really founded on data, or, you know, decision-making, recommendations, and so on, where you can think, okay, the insight is the thing, if you like, even if it's an automated, you know, decision-making process. Or is it, you know, or is it more of a sort of a product and capability thing that happens to be supported by data? In which case, those kinds of uses of data might better be articulated by, you know, a chief product officer or a chief digital officer who will work with the chief data officer and with the CIO to ensure that data is well, you know, is made available for, you know, to kind of realize their vision. But it is, you know, absolutely two people trying to sit on the same seat in many cases, and there's lots of kind of horse trading that goes on there.
Yeah, I know. We love to have guests on and ask them really hard, thorny questions just to see them
squirm.
So sorry about, I didn't prep you for that. But no, I agree. I think, you know, you think about it, I like the, you know, the way you phrased it as, well, we're trying to solve this business problem and we need people with different lenses or viewpoints or background experience to say, well, here's how technology can help that. Here's how data can help that. So really having those as different roles, understanding that those are two, that's a Venn diagram with, depending on the business, maybe more, you know, a lot or a little, but, you know, usually probably a lot of overlap. And I, you know, I'm not, it doesn't ever bother me that there's a lot of overlap. I think that that's where we have to work together, right, to achieve those business goals. So,
which I think, by the way, is what your third point in sort of the 10 ways to improve your data strategy paper that you just recently wrote, which is about, you know, bringing it together with the business and lots of other stakeholders.
You know, we should have mentioned the paper up front, because that's why that's why we're here. Like, we're trying to, you know, Ian wrote a great paper. It's probably on Credera.com somewhere. And everyone should go download it. Sorry, that's the blatant pitch. But like, yeah, that's why we asked you on to talk through it, and we forgot to mention it.
So look, I think, you know, this is one of the questions that I have for both of you in some sense. If you want to be a data-driven organization, and I think, I don't know, that hype cycle, we're probably now starting to hit that trough of despair a little bit, but it's still fairly common. People, executives still talk about on Wall Street and earnings, like, hey, we're a data-driven business, our differentiator is data, blah, 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 all good. If you want to be a data-driven organization, then it seems to me that your corporate strategy needs to be equivalent to your data strategy. A bit of your point of this challenge that you face in these digital native companies, like I faced at Uber, which is like, well, everything we do is literally data. Like, I don't understand what does this even mean? It's different, you know, in a corporation where you're, you know, you're GE and you've built a very big business off physical assets. And now your question's like, well, can data make these physical assets better? Like, that's a sort of an add-on, a bolt-on. When your corporation was created around the idea of, you know, digital native data effectively, like, it's a different proposition entirely. And, you know, I'll ask the same question to you, Jason, which is, if you wanted to be, you know, 10 years ago, I'm sure organizations said the same thing about, I don't know what the catchy phrase was, or maybe 20 years ago, you know, something about like, oh, we want to be a technology-driven company or something like this. That was a big deal at some point, right? Am I wrong? You're giving me a look. Is that not a thing people said? I assume they said it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, same thing. So how did they resolve that tension, which is like, well, if technology is a core differentiator for our business, we want to do e-com, if you think about American Airlines, we're going to be the first to do, maybe not the first, we're going to be the best at doing acquiring new customers on these other devices, these mobile devices, on, you know, text message, on whatever it is. Like, how did they start that process of reconciling, you know, technology strategy with a corporate strategy?
I would challenge your assertion around Uber being, you know, only data, which that is true. You have a tremendous amount of data, or had a tremendous amount of data at Uber, and you used it to drive a lot of value. But like, how do people access it? Like, somebody's got to have an app. Drivers have to have an app. They have to connect to that data. They have to work when they're offline. They have to get mapped. They have to, you know, there's a tremendous amount of technology that is needed to either collect or then consume and make use of that data. And so,
no, I guess that was my point exactly, is like, if you're these digital native companies where you feel like data is the everything, and you end up in exactly the problem that Ian said, which is something like, well, does that mean I'm responsible for everything? Well, that can't be true either. Because to your exact point, like, there's technology powering it, there's actual product powering it. That's like, that is the purview of the CEO. That can't be the CDO. Like, how do you reconcile? That's sort of where I was going with that point. Sorry if I wasn't clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, I think the use of data in organizations, or the way people think about the use of data, there's a lot to be learned from kind of digital and data native companies. But I also, I do tire, as I'm sure you do, of hearing people say, you know, we want to be the Uber of concrete manufacture.
Fishing guides.
Like, what is that? Yeah. And I am particularly sick of hearing about Spotify's tribes as well. But you know, the thing about these digital or data native companies is that they are, I'd say, they're both instructive, but they're also not representative of the vast majority of organizations that need to figure out how to use data better. And so for those companies, they can have sort of data kind of as the value proposition, as you say, Vince. You know, like Uber is a logistics, you know, yes, it's a logistics company, but sort of data is right there in the front. You know, you're making requests for vehicles, you're seeing where they are, the whole thing. And I think it can be easy. And while we're on the subject of things that make me want to sit on my front porch and shake my stick, sort of data-driven is not my favorite term either, because it implies this weird thing about the data kind of being in charge. And I've spoken to execs where they kind of view data a bit like Calvin's school teacher from Calvin and Hobbes, just like kind of constantly yelling at them about what a bad job they're doing. It's sort of looking over their shoulder, sort of marking their work. And so the advice I give to people is, I know you're in charge, you know, it's your business. You want to figure out how data can help you. And the irony is, all the people in senior positions find that particularly difficult, because they're the ones with all the instinct about how to run a business effectively, all baked into their head, and actually extracting that in a structured way that could be helped by data is really, really challenging, because they don't know what they need to know because they already know it. So I think it's important for people to understand that, you know, that these businesses are unrepresentative. In those situations, yes, you know, the CDO and the chief product officer or the CIO have to have a really tight relationship on who's supporting whom. The easiest way to do that is kind of broadly for the CDO to say, well, do you know what? I'm kind of about analytics and decision making, and and if we need data to support our core product, well, that's kind of data in a product context. So we sort of use it there in a somewhat different way.
Yeah, I think that's all great. And you must have worked at Microsoft with me back in the day, because I think I heard we're not going to be data-driven an awful lot back then. still have some scars from our indoctrination that I was trying to run the program there. I think those are all really good points there. So this has been super helpful for me, at least, trying to understand like the data strategy. My last challenge to you in the sense of making you squirm as our guest, and you'll never want to come back, is really like... You know, given that data touches everything, and we did this interesting pod a while back on this idea of data-driven architecture versus something else, right? The question that I have for you then, Ian, is like, is it right for data to have its own strategy? But maybe there are cases like first party, third party, should we sell our data, should we not sell our data? Those kinds of things might still live in its own place. But in a broader sense of data strategy, of like how we're going to connect, what we're going to do with it, et cetera, is it right for it to sit on its own, or is it better for the CDO to insinuate him or herself into all of the other strategies sitting around that role and be part of the corporate strategy, part of the technology strategy, part of the product strategy, and say, look, this is how data can make your technology better. Here's how data can make your product better. Here's how data can make the company better. Or does that really need to be its own document from your perspective?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, Vince. I think we're at an interesting period or sort of inflection with the use of data within organizations, where at the moment I believe a separate data strategy is needed, but all of what you just described I think is also necessary. That, you know, a chief data officer should absolutely be going and helping to support, you know, product strategy, you know, customer strategy, marketing strategy, and so on. You know, once upon a time, 100 years ago, companies needed, I don't know if they ever wrote things that they might have called them their electricity strategy, but they had to think explicitly about how they would leverage electricity in the way they run their business. No company now, as far as I'm aware, has an electricity strategy. It is, you know, taken for granted. People have other strategies, highly, you know, fuel smelting, you know,
sure,
iron ore to make steel. You got to think hard about your use of electricity, but you don't have an electricity strategy. And I think we may have a situation, we may get to a point where people don't have a data strategy, but they have, I don't know, a decisions and insight strategy or something, but they also have a product strategy, things that are all about the use of data, but where you don't have this slight kind of cart before the horse thing and saying, you know, how can we use all this oil that we just pulled out of the ground sort of thing instead? Like, what thing do we want to make? And I would welcome that. I don't think it's, you know, despite the fact that, you know, I've been a CDO, it's not necessary for the CDO to have to build a data strategy if what is necessary is captured in other strategies that the business takes seriously.
That's good. I like that. That's super interesting. It's sort of a transient point in time statement more than anything like today, because it's net new, because it's novel, because, you know, the technologists and product people don't yet understand all that data could do for them. It's important to dedicate effort and paper, if you will, to exactly articulating those things while also simultaneously pushing in their own strategy elements. That makes a lot of sense to me. Jason, yeah. Any thoughts there?
I think it's been really helpful for me. A lot of times when I've worked at companies with their quote unquote data strategist, it's all been around these rules of the road. I really like that analogy, right? You know, in terms of it being speed limits and, you know, you drive in the right side or left side, I guess, in the UK. You know, that tends to what I tend to see, and raising it up to say, how do we use data to achieve these business goals is, I think, a much better framing and something that I think will be much more valuable to a lot of companies. Not that we don't need those rules or the road, but that they come as the implementation downstream of the data strategy in terms of, you know, what, how do we best implement that? So that's been really helpful to me, I think.
Well, I want to leave our listeners with a parting thought from each of you, but I want to set you up a little bit, Jason, here, which is like, look, you know, Credera is going through a bit of a replatforming ourselves of a variety of internal tools that we use. No big deal. Every company does it. That's cool.
We're the cobbler's children for sure.
We have the worst tools. Yeah, no doubt.
Sorry, Ryan. If Ryan Walker is listening, you do an amazing job with what you have.
With what he's given. He's given nothing though. That's right. I guess the question for you, Jason, we just actually had a little bit of a back and forth recently with some other partners here around like, how are we going to store data? What's it going to look like? What's the formatting of it? You know, sort of canonical data strategy questions. And, you know, I think that we ended up pairing pretty well on that. So my question to you is, you know, for the CIOs out there, what advice would you give them as some CDO type person comes along and says, hey, let me help out with data strategy? Like, how would you encourage them to think about that and engage with those people?
Yeah, I think what we did in that, you know, internal exercise was really what, you know, Ian was talking about, just like, the thing we did was take a step back. We were, you know, arguing about like where to capture data and how to structure it and that kind of thing. And we thought, well, let's take a step back. What are we trying to do? Like, what questions are we trying to answer? Why are we trying to answer those questions? Like, we're trying to, you know, for example, in our business, it's like, well, we need to understand where we have demand for certain skills, where we maybe don't have enough of those skills so that we can go hire and or train. And what levels, you know, of those skills we have and when we might need them. Like, that's something we're trying to do that makes our business more effective. It lets us, you know, staff projects when we need them. We don't overhire in areas where we don't need people. So we started, you know, when we took a step back and started there, like, the, you know, I've always said, like, you know, with, if you know what you're trying to do, the implementation usually gets pretty simple. And, you know, often we get in trouble because we start trying to implement without really understanding what we're trying to do. And so, you know, everybody's answer is right. That's the Alice in Wonderland, right? Problem where Alice meets the cat and says, which way should I go? And the cat says, where are you trying to go? And she said, I don't know. And he said, well, it doesn't matter which way you go then, right? That's the problem we run into. And so I think that was pretty instructive, at least for me, of, you know, when companies come and like, we need a data strategy, you know, it's like, well, let's back up and it's like, why? What are you trying to do with it? Mm-hmm.
Any parting thoughts for you, Ian, either for CDOs or CIOs as they engage with each other on this, or people just who are thinking about data strategy? Any sort of parting thoughts?
I think the job of getting a data strategy landed requires a ton of patience and sort of good influencing skills. And it's really only the beginning of the journey, not the end. I think there's a little bit of a sort of a a sense that when, you know, this nice data strategy sort of lands and, you know, gets blessed by the senior leadership team and the CEO says, oh, it's a nice piece of work. And the data, chief data officer is like, great, she'll be plain sailing from here. And it's really, that's really only the start. And, you know, if I were to advise, you know, an organization on the kind of CDO they need to hire, then I would always have people biased towards people who are good, like, deal makers and influencers versus incredibly strong technologists or data specialists. And it's unfortunate that a lot of organizations do bring people forward from those backgrounds without thinking hard enough about the very different nature of the job once you get to that level. So, you know, it's the last recommendation in my piece about this, which is like, you got to get out there and sell it. It's a sales document. Ultimately, you've got to get out there and pitch it and repitch it. Keep people on the same page. Otherwise, it will just die a death.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I guess my last bit of advice to CDOs is playing off yours with the patience part, which is, you know, we talked about this, like the role of CDO versus CIO. And Jason brought up a good point, which is, you know, CIOs have been in it for a while. Like any CIO, almost any organization has been doing that job for a while. Maybe not at that company, but that job for a while. And they're battle tested, you know, like they know how to navigate the organization. They know which pitfalls there are. And so my encouragement to CDOs in particular is like, lean on them, leverage them, get them on your side and ally to help guide and shepherd this through the process, because it's new to the organization. Almost certainly, whatever the data strategy is, it's going to be new to the organization. It's going to be change. And that's going to require a variety of skills that are a little bit bespoke to the organization and definitely bespoke to that kind of role, to your point. It's not often the data technologists or data people, I guess, who have been working on developing those skills. So lean into that. Overall, I loved your paper. I loved the conversation today. Thank you, Ian, for joining us on a late Friday night, your time. I guess Jason's going to have to take you fishing next time that we're out there. Is there fishing out there, Jason? Because there's something to do in London, England? I don't know.
In Scotland, that's where they invented fly fishing, right?
Is that true? Scotland. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, how far away is Scotland for you, Ian? I'm obviously terrible at geography.
There's plenty of fishing to do in the rivers around here.
Okay.
Don't get me started on water quality, though. That's a whole thing in
the UK. I don't think Jason hardly ever eats the fish he catches, so it's fine.
I'm catch and release almost exclusively.
So no problem. Well, no, but seriously, guys, thank you so much for joining us today. For you listeners, I hope that you enjoyed this. If you'd like to learn more, visit the Credera, the insights page at credera.com. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again, Ian and listeners. Thank you both.
Thanks, guys.